We've been speaking the last few weeks about thinking, believing differently. More holy, more fully. What does he say? What does his word say? Then we've talked about speaking differently. Can you be honest enough to admit with me that sometimes we need to change the things we say? Yes. Come on. Sometimes we need to deal with this. The tongue is the most unruly member. And sometimes, whether it's a backbiting gossip or even chiding of ourselves, our self-talk sometimes is literally horrible. And it's not based on truth in the Word of God. Instead of declaring about yourself, I'm an image bearer saved by grace. I belong to Jesus. He's cleansed me. He's forgiven me. We start to quote things like, you stupid jerk, blah, 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 blah. And instead, we need to throw that away, because who's the accuser of the brethren? Yes. Satan is, and he's been defeated. So when you've given your life to Jesus, you get to hide under the shadow of his wings and declare those great things that he has said about you and me. But now this morning, we're going to talk about the triad, the third one of this, and it's called live differently. Live differently. Now what I'd like you to do and encourage you to do is turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to spend much of my time this morning using various verses from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you have a tablet or a phone with you, a smartphone with your scriptures on it, great. Otherwise, there's Bibles in the back. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You can keep your finger in there, because that's where we're going to be going this morning, what we're going to be doing. A very long time ago, excuse me, there was a man born in Jerusalem. He grew up hearing the stories of his very famous great-great-grandfather. His great-great-great-grandfather was a war hero. Not a perfect man, but stories of him were everywhere. You could hear his songs. You could read his poems and writings birthed from your grandfather's heart were still, in fact, being read and sung and shared every single week in Jerusalem. Your name? Jehoshaphat. Your dad was Asa. But your great-great-great-grandfather was David, king of Israel. And now, God's claims are calling Jehoshaphat. Asa was a good king throughout most of his life and kingship. He had some problems at the end that we don't want to emulate, but overall, he goes down in history as a good king. And his son, Jehoshaphat, had a chance to be a co-regent with him for a couple of years as he was diseased in his feet. The father, Asa, should have turned to the Lord for healing. We read in the scriptures that he didn't. But we see Jehoshaphat rising up to say, I want to live this thing like David lived, my great, great, great grandfather. Immediately, Jehoshaphat begins to ban the idol worship and drives out the male cult prostitutes. And he destroys the Asherah poles where the people had worshipped false gods. And he began to tear down some of the high places. He didn't get them all down, but he starts to send out prophets and teachers around to the various places, priests and Levites, to the various places in Judah, and even tried to send some to Israel, the northern tribe, and they laughed at him. But he wasn't perfect, but Jehoshaphat was one of the best good kings in Judah. What I want to do is just take a few minutes and unpack this really choice story from Jehoshaphat's life, because I think it's really instructive for you and for me. How many want to live differently, live better, live more fully what Jesus wants us to live? Yeah, me too. Do you know that we have Jehoshaphat's living faith? His dad, I want to say it one more time, just his dad reigned as a king for 41 years, and his dad had victory, led the people in victory over 1 million men, the Bible says, Ethiopian army. He trusted God who took care of him. But again, after 35 years, he began to waver. But Jehoshaphat steps up in his living faith and begins to clean the land. But pressure produces true prayer. I said pressure produces true prayer. How many know you never get quite as serious as in prayer as when pressure comes? Come on, you know, trouble happens, you know, not just in River City. Starts with T and runs with P, and that stands for pool. Nevertheless, pressure comes to bear in our lives. What is it that produces a diamond? Where's the diamond come from? Pressure from what? Coal. And where does coal, where does all that come from? The plants that died, we learned a long time ago, that then were squeezed and pressured over decades and centuries and centuries, and it becomes, you know, a diamond, or isn't that how they also produce oil, right? I'm looking at Mr. Texaco over here, Dean Larson. So that's how oil is produced. But those things come from pressure, and pressure produces true prayer. Now, character is what you do when no one's looking. I don't mean you are a character. I mean what you have inside. Character is what you do when no one's looking. And Jehoshaphat is tested, and thousands of people are looking on when he is tested. Now, just before we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat blew it. He went and made league with the king of Israel, and they went to war. It was an ill-conceived war. It wasn't the right thing. The prophet of the Lord told him it wasn't going to be blessed, and it wasn't. Ahab lost his life. Jehoshaphat got out with the skin of his teeth, and he's back. And a prophet comes out and tells this good king of Judah, "You blew it. You made a league with the wrong person. You made a friend out of the enemy of the Lord," blah, blah, blah. And it goes, not, you don't ever say blah, blah, blah with the scriptures. I'm sorry. But it goes on to describe that further. But the point is, I think that probably really accomplished something in Jehoshaphat's life. Don't you think that kind of rebuke would probably stop you in your tracks with a fresh commitment in your heart saying, "Lord, I want to live this like you want me to live. I want to, I've made my mistakes. I've made my sins. Forgive me. I'm forgiven. Now I want to change my life. I want to live differently." How many want to live differently today than you did yesterday? I want to live better today than I did yesterday. So we find that what's happening now, after that incident, after that occurrence occurred, he is now going to be tested. Thousands of people are looking on. And all of a sudden, we find that the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Menuhites gather together against Israel, against Judah, for war. Look what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. I won't read all of the scriptures, but here come some of them. "And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. With that many people rising up against you, surrounding you, how many think you might experience some fear?" Yeah. So that's honest. He set himself to do what? To seek the Lord. "And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." He asked help from the Lord. Anybody in this room asking help from God for anything in your life? Sure. And we gather together. They gathered from all Judah to come and seek the Lord. We gather together in this place to seek the Lord, to find His will, discover His will, to encourage and to strengthen each other, to learn what the Scripture says about our walk with God. But there was a fear that had struck his heart. What does he do? Let's follow the pattern and break this down a little bit and see if there's something we can't learn from today. When the test comes, pressure produces true prayer. Number one, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Listen to what he does. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven?" He acknowledges God. "And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?" There's something in your heart. When you begin to acknowledge God and declare who He is, it kind of aligns your heart right, doesn't it? If your heart has begun to snap or move away, it snaps you back to the right place. Here's who you are. Here's what your word says you are. Here's what you've done. I know you. You're the God of Judah. You are the God of my fathers. You are my God, and I know you can help me. I acknowledge you. Number two, rehearse your history with God. Church, I'm talking about pressure produces true prayer in our lives. And so if you're in a problem today, what do? You acknowledge God, and number two, rehearse your history with God. Verses 7 and 9 of 2 Chronicles, if you have it, it's right in front of you. I'm reading mostly from the New King James this morning. Are you not our God? Now comes the history. And I don't think this is because God forgot his history, do you? God doesn't forget. It was important to Jehoshaphat to remember and for the people to remember. And he says, you drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel. You gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. They dwell in it. They built a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, here's what you taught us to say, Lord. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction. And he declares what God has told him. He remembers it, and he declares it, and he finishes this by saying, now if we do all this, you will hear and save. Hallelujah. Have you ever been discouraged in your life and wondered if God stopped seeing where you were? He forgot your zip code? Yeah. You ever wondered that?
Sure.
And God says, I never forget you.
Yeah.
I see you. I know you. You may not feel me near, but I see your tear. And I know your zip code, and I know who you are, and I know what you're experiencing. But he's saying, it's okay. Rehearse it. It's good for you to rehearse in your own hearing your history with God. Number three, face your reality with God. Now, Jehoshaphat didn't deny the reality of what was going on. He faced it. So he acknowledges God. He rehearses the history with God. He quotes back to God what God has told him to say. And now he's facing his reality with God, verses 10 through 12. Now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel. By the way, he's saying, no fair, God. You wouldn't let us attack them when we were moving into the promised land. These are the people God wouldn't let them raise their hands against when we came out of the land of Egypt. But we turned from them. Our fathers turned from them, did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? What is he doing? He's not denying the reality. He is facing the reality. Lord, I acknowledge you. I surrender to you. I know you've met me before, and I know you're going to meet me again. And now, Lord, let's talk about what's really going on. Here it is. I know you see it. May not sound important to be able to tell you, but I'm just going to confess to you that here's the situation. And he says, God, won't you judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But he finishes with very important words, and I'd like you to say it with me. I don't think it's up there. Oh, yes, it is. It says, but our eyes are upon you. Say it again. But our eyes are upon you. Come on. Our eyes are upon you. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how overwhelming the obstacles, no matter whether, well, I don't think I can see past this problem, Lord, but I acknowledge you. I surrender to you. I know you've helped me before. Here's the reality. And oh God, my eyes are on you. Then he says, wait on God. What do we learn from this pattern? Wait on God. Verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 20. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that assembly? They just stood before God as the man of God, their king, cried out to God, Lord, now we're just waiting on you. We need your miracles. We need them now more than ever. You've prayed. Now trust him.
Yeah.
His great-great-great-grandfather David taught him from Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. It goes like this, not up there, but trust in the Lord. You'll know the verse. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. That's what we're doing here. That's what he's doing. Feeding on the faithfulness of God. Remembering the history of what God has done. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass. His great, great, great grandfather, when he was surrounded by the enemies, when he was surrounded with trouble, when he had war on every side, he said, now I'm going to commit my way to God. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to do what he's called me to do, and I'm going to stand. I'm going to wait on him. And Lord, my heart and my eyes are fixed on you. I'm going to trust in you. Listen to Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Watch this out of the Passion Version. Look at this. This is fantastic. When you build your doctrine, use your King James. Use your New American Standard. New King James is good as well. But some of the modern translations, they may not have every accuracy, but their purpose is to give you a different perspective of true meaning of that verse or that word. And they're faithful to do that. Listen to this. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Never lose hope. Come on, never lose hope. I want you to touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, hey, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Especially if hope is the name of your little granddaughter. Don't lose hope. Be brave and courageous. Never lose hope. Yes. Keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Number three, live differently. There's a pattern that pressure produces true prayer. And what do? We come to a place then where we live differently. Number one, listen. Listen for God. What happens now in this story, if you have your finger in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, is God's prophet declares God's word as they've come to wait on him. Verse 15, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, listen. For thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Someone say amen.
Glory.
The battle is not yours but it's God's.
Yes.
If you have given your life to Jesus and you are standing under the shadow of his wings, you're standing there straight and you're aligned right with him, you're in his word, and you've taken care, you don't know of any sin against you and God, you need to trust that God has you in the palm of his hands.
Amen.
And he's not going to let you go. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. Number two, pay attention to what he says. So number one, listen. Now you pay attention to what he says. Verses 17 through 19. He goes on to say, the prophetic word goes on to say, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now we're going to see the most unique battle plan in human history.
Yes. Hallelujah.
How many of you have been commanders in the military? Some of you, Joseph, yeah, Michael, some of you have led others into battle or you've been in the military. And Jim, you know what it's like. And I'll bet you never had this as a plan given to you from your commanding officer. It's the most unique battle in human history because this king and these people lined up with God. And God gave them an instruction of what to do. Set yourselves. Stand in faith. Watch God move and don't be afraid. It's hard to do sometimes. God says, I'll be with you when you go out against them. You are spiritually on the offense. I'm going to say that again. Just for in case you didn't hear me. You are spiritually on the offense.
Yeah.
There is indeed a verse that I felt prompted in the prophetic time to quote that verse. But there is a verse that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Historically, people put a comma there. And there is no comma in the original. The punctuation wasn't there. But what happens is people quote that in such a way that gives the devil all the glory and God's people better watch out. But that's not the point and the principle of Scripture. From beginning to end, you see God strengthening his people, giving them the power to overcome, giving them the power to have a right confession and to see their strength, their healing, their life, and their victory. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. Amen. The enemy cannot stand. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will. You correct me if I'm misinterpreting this. No, don't do that because it's the right interpretation. God says he's going to give the victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Spiritual offense. Number three, praise him. So now praise him. Come on, I said praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Are you crazy, Kevin? Just crazy enough to believe him.
Amen.
Praise him. And sometimes you need to say to yourself, I'm going to praise him anyway.
Right.
I'm going to praise him anyway. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Did they see the answer to their prayers yet? What happened? God gave them his word. I said, God gave them his word. And they praised him. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites or Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. Those are different voices than mine. Loud and high. They stood up to praise him. He and they begin to praise even before they tangibly, naturally see the answer. There's a principle there, church. Please hold on to it. He begins to praise even before they tangibly or physically see the answer because they've heard the word. The word of God prevails over what these natural eyes might see. And so I line up my confession with his word to see it released in my life. There's a principle there. Y'all getting it? Amen or oh no?
Yes.
Number four, act on your belief. Act on your belief. Now, they could have gone over to the ditches and back to caves and said, man, good word today. Good word, prophet. That's a good word. Thank you. Thanks for taking time. I know it must have been a little hard to step out of your comfort zone and deliver that prophecy. You know, I mean, it's a good word, man. Good, good. While they hid in the cave. And said to each other, I don't know how this is coming out, but man, I think I'll stay right here behind this big rock. Is that what they did? They acted on their belief. We're talking about living differently, more wholeheartedly this year, believing him more. What you believe determines how you live. Come on. What you believe determines how you live. Verses 20 and 21 of 2 Chronicles 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Watch, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe, established, the same Hebrew word there. And it means you'll be supported, you'll be built up, God will meet you as you trust that his word is true. Believe in the Lord your God, say it with me please, you shall be established. Now watch. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. That means you'll literally push forward. The Bible tells Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, wage warfare by the prophecies that have gone on before you. The prophetic word, it's not more important than the word of God by any means. If someone stands up and prophesies something contrary to the word of God, it's not, as Pastor Sherry says, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. Get rid of it.
Right.
It needs to line up with the word of God. But we need to hear what God will say to us. Believe his word, you'll be strengthened. Believe his prophets and you'll prosper. Over and over again. Over and over again. You'll be built up. Now, when we leave here on Sunday morning and the Lord has spoken to us prophetically and we've had the rich word of God, don't you think, do you leave built up?
Yes.
And strengthened?
Yes.
That's what it's all about. And then number five, watch what he does. Watch what he does. Actually, 2 Chronicles 20:21, I think. Did I skip one, Pat? Yeah. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Oh, yeah, this is really important. Here's the battle plan. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. Watch. Say it with me. Everybody say it real loud, please. Real. I want you to hear it in your own ears. Who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Where were they?
In front.
What a day to have that rotational schedule come up and you're a singer. Yeah, I'd like you to go out in front. They went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They'd heard the word. They already sought him. They acknowledged him. They rehearsed what God had done. And then they listened and God brought his word. And it was a resounding word that rung true in their heart. And they said, God is able to do this. We can believe it. And Hezekiah, as the king says, God says it. I believe it. Let's go do it. They didn't sit in the cave. They said, okay, we're going to act like we believe him. Now watch what he does. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 and 23. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord, who did it?
The Lord
set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And say it with me, please. They were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Now, the scripture over the next few verses talks about how Judah got up in the watchtower, looked out over the fields, and they saw the bodies. This isn't about natural war here. This is about spiritual warfare. In their day, it was about natural war, but we're receiving the principles of the Lord engaged in our life in spiritual warfare every single day. They saw the bodies, and literally it says it took 3 days to gather the spoil of the enemy's armies. God does, as we've heard all through this service today, he's saying something. God does above and beyond all that we ask or think. Say that with me. God does above and beyond all that we ask or think. So, what are the results of living differently? 2 Chronicles 20, 27 through 29. I said we're just going to unpack 2 Chronicles 20 today because there are life lessons that are important for each of us. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem. How? All down and depressed because they still were burdened. To go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Wow. Do you know that the Lord not only fights against your spiritual enemies, he has defeated the devil at the cross? Come on, church. I said, do you know that? Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. The enemy is defeated. We have issues. All God's kids got issues. We have some problems. But we have a great Lord who is bigger than them all.
Yes.
And he says, Kev, start acknowledging. Start rehearsing. Start listening. Keep waiting. And then listen to my word. And then act on that word.
Amen.
Believe differently. Speak differently. Live differently. And the result is the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
The result is we have a living faith, alive and vibrant, and we get to move into 2019 expecting God to do even more and better and beyond what we've seen before, because He's the God who does above and beyond all that we ask or think. We can encourage each other more. We can listen to the Word and give the Word away, and we can give Jesus away and share Him with people that don't know Him, because He's alive and well, and we can look at the problems around us and we can say, oh God, see and move and pour out revival, because God is able to heal the human heart. Jesus is everything, and He is worth walking with. Someone say amen. So today, plant it deep. Today, Lord, I believe differently. Today, Lord, I'm going to speak differently. And Lord, by Your grace, today, I'm going to live this walk with You differently than before. Accomplish all that You want, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Stand with me, would you please, church? Musicians, will you come? We're going to sing about the army of the Lord again, and we're going to trust that He's going to lead us and guide us and keep taking us on, because He's a great God who loves to do just that. Amen?
Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to break for a few minutes. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, if you're here and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, let this be the day. Let it happen in your life today. There are people here who would love to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, there are those who want to pray for you as well. But most of all, know in your heart of hearts that Jesus loves you. He cares. He's speaking His word over you right now, and He's got your future in mind. Great things. Amen? So we're going to live differently. Filled with the joy of the Lord is our strength. We know Your word is good. You've spoken to our hearts, and we've had opportunity to come and praise Your name and to lift You up. And Lord, even as we've looked into the word, we see it's not just an Old Testament study, but it's reality of walking with God today. And we pray, O Lord Jesus, as we go from this place, we pray, we decree, we declare, we commit that we will believe, speak, and live differently, more vibrantly in You than ever before. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen.